The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
Welcome to our Christmas season. During the season, we gather together as one church, one body, one family. If you are visiting with us, I want to say welcome. My name is John Cousins. I'm the pastor here at Hope Hill Church. During the month of December, we come together every week at 10:30 to celebrate the season, worship our coming King and Savior during the season. And then after the new year, we'll end up probably, depending on how much I like this, because it's really kind of cool to have everybody together, we've typically do two services, a 9:30 and an 11. But we're glad to have everybody together right now. It's kind of like a homecoming of sorts. A lot of you are back for the holidays anyway, and our college students haven't even returned yet. This place is going to be full in a week or two. It's so good to have everybody together. Okay, this is the Advent season. During the season, we do some special things together. I want to invite John and Michelle and their children up to lead us in our Advent reading for today.
Hey, everyone. I'm John. This is my wife, Michelle. This is our daughter, Lindsay. Daughter, Michaela. From the far end, Trevor. You know him. And Josiah. And our adopted son, Avante.
There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe.
He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world.
John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He comes after me, has surpassed me because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another."
Now this was John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent the priests and the Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Christ." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No."
Finally, they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John replied, "In the words of Isaiah the prophet, 'I am the voice of the one calling in the desert. Make straight the way for the Lord.'"
Jesus is the Christ, period. This is the testimony of John the Baptist. For all the greatness of John the Baptist, for all the wisdom, powerful work, and changed lives, John is clear. Don't confuse me with the one who is much greater than I, Jesus Christ. Like John, we who believe are to live our lives so all we do will point others to Christ, so that we will reflect the light of Jesus in our own lives and lead others to him. For just as John says, "Let us make straight the way for the Lord."
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we pray that you give us the insight to follow the example of John the Baptist and place you first in all areas of our life. We pray that your light will be seen in our lives as we live the light of your gospel so that others will come to know you. Help us to seek the power of your Holy Spirit and the continued strength that he gives each step of the way. Amen.
Thank you, Chase family. All right, so we start this brand new series today called Fear Not. We're going to be looking into some of the sayings of angels during the telling of the Christmas story, the true events that happened a little over 2,000 years ago when God sent angels to deliver messages to certain individuals. A lot of times, though, when these angels would appear, the first words out of their mouth, for obvious reasons, I think you'll see with me, were the words, "Fear not." Has anybody here ever seen something that just immediately frightened them? Startled you? Made you scream or yell or jump? Well, I can't imagine what it would be like to have an angel all of a sudden show up to you and start speaking to you. That would be pretty crazy. If you were here during our last series, during last month, we had a series called The Afterlife, and we talked about heaven and hell and all things eternal. We talked about angels and demons. And so we talked a little bit about this. And the picture that I tried to paint for you is that I don't like the idea of angels being cute little bald head babies, okay? I think the angels we see in Scripture are more like majestic warrior type beings that are powerful. We see them as messengers of God. And at the same time, we see them able to slay nations in just the mention of a word. Angels are majestic beings. The Bible says that often we will entertain angels unaware. Angels are on our earth. They are watching over us. They are messengers of God. They are here to protect us. They are here to lead us. They're here to guide us. Angels are real. And in this story we're going to look at today, an angel shows up and delivers a message to a young girl named Mary, and it changes her life forever. As we turn in our Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 1, you'll see our story there. And my encouragement always is that you use a Bible. If you don't own a Bible, we want to give you one as a gift. Our gift to you, we have them available in English and Spanish. Our ushers can make those available even now. If you need a Bible while we're going through this Bible study, just raise your hand, leave it up, and our ushers will make their way to you. Also, we have notes provided in your handout if you're a note taker and like that kind of thing. Just raise your hand and our ushers will get one to you if you weren't given one on the way in. Fear not. Fear not were the words spoken 2-3 times in the verses we're going to look at over the next couple weeks. Today we're going to look at the life of Mary. Next week we're going to look into a guy named Joseph. And on Christmas Eve we're going to look into the story of the shepherds and the angels appearing to them. Fear not. What is it that you fear in your life? I know a lot of times, sometimes we simply fear people. Have you ever been out in a crowd? You're busy. You've got a deadline to meet. You're at a store. You've got to get somewhere quick. And the thing you're most fear of is seeing someone you know. Have you ever been in that time where you're walking through and you look down the aisle? Oh no, they saw me. You know, start walking a little. You bet that happened to you? I remember traveling. I can't remember where we were traveling from, but our layover was in Chicago O'Hare Airport, a big airport. And Brandy had recently had one of her surgeries and was in a wheelchair. And we had to get from one end of the airport to the other in under 35 minutes. And I was like, oh my goodness. I'm so glad I don't live in Chicago. I'm not going to see anybody. We're not going to have to stop and have any conversations. We just get to go. So as fast as Brandy would allow me, I'm power walking through the airport, pushing her. And we get over this one concourse area and we're going down down this walkway. And all of a sudden I hear, John and Brandy. I'm like, what in the world? In the least likely of places, this is unreal. And I'm thinking, I cannot stop. We're not going to make our transfer. There's no way. And as we get closer, I notice, some of you remember Rob and Jenna Mosier. They've moved to Fredericksburg. Well, Rob had a brother named Tyler, and he was at this airport. It was just so weird that he was there, and I'm running down this aisle, and I don't mean to be rude, but we can't stop. I'll explain in Virginia. And I just keep going. It happens to all of us, if we're honest. A lot of times, we're simply afraid of just running into people because we've got plans, we've got an agenda, we've got certain things we've got to stick with. And sometimes that's also how we feel about God. You know, I'll go to church, but when they start talking about God speaking, I don't want God to, my life's already too busy. I can't take any more instruction from outside, right? A lot of times we would rather just avoid the voice of God. We'd rather avoid God's leading. Why are we fearful of these kinds of things in our life at times? Sometimes, instead of letting faith rule our lives, we let fear rule our lives. Some people see faith and fear and they think they're in opposition of each other, but I want to kind of argue with you that fear is really faith in the wrong things. Fear is faith in the what ifs. Fear is faith in, well, if I commit to that, what if happens if I don't get my contract renewed and I won't be able to continue the financial responsibility that will come with that commitment? You been there? Fear is faith in, well, we have an unstable economy, and what if things fall apart? Fear is having faith in My marriage is not going that good right now, and I don't know if it's going to make it, so I can't really make any decisions or follow God's leading. And many times, real situations will come up in life, and we put our faith in those situations, and we're fearful to be obedient to God. My hope is that today's unfolding scriptures will give us the encouragement to not let fear rule our lives, but to instead live a life focused on God's leading and having faith in who He is and what He can do through us despite our circumstances. I remember being married and going through premarital counseling right before we were married, and there were times when, even Brandy shared with me last night, that some of the things she was afraid of was, I'm marrying this guy who has credit card debt, $500 credit card debt. How are we going to start a marriage on $500 in debt? As we went shopping around trying to find a home to live in, the cheapest thing we could find was an apartment that was going to cost us $297 a month. How are we going to afford that? There are many things in life that can cause us to fear the what ifs. I was watching TV last night just thinking about this morning, and this commercial came on, and don't you hate it when commercials catch you off guard and you start crying at a stupid commercial? This one caught me last night. Check it out.
I am never getting married.
Never.
Guaranteed.
You picked a beautiful ring.
Thank you. We're never having kids.
I love it here.
We are never moving to the suburbs.
We are never getting one of those. We are never having another kid.
I'm pregnant.
I'm never letting go.
For all the nevers in life, State Farm is there.
Many times. Now I'm getting teary already. Many times it's those simple, you know, what ifs that keep us from wanting to move forward and experiencing the greatest things in life. God tells us in 2 Timothy 1:7, it says this, "For God has not given us a spirit of what? God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind." There are two things I want us to see today as we look at the life of Mary. Two reasons why we can be afraid of God and His plans for our lives. So let's look at Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 29. Here we go. It says this, "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy..." Now Elizabeth is Mary's aunt. Some of you say aunt, but that's something you step on, so I choose to be respectful. This is Mary's aunt. Is anybody here born in like New England? Yeah, that's the right way to say it, right? Aunt? Yes. Anyways, Aunt Elizabeth. Aunt Elizabeth is Mary's aunt. She's going to give birth to John the Baptist, who 33 years from now will baptize, actually 30 years from now, and plus 6 months will, actually she's 6 months pregnant, so 9 months. Don't quote me on the math side of things. But anyways, Elizabeth is going to give birth to John the Baptist, who is going to baptize Jesus. Jesus and John are cousins. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel, Gabriel. One of three angels named in the scriptures. Name the other two quickly. Michael and Lucifer. That's right. Otherwise known as Satan, when he was cast out of heaven. In the sixth month, Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, to a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married. And the culture back then, as a young Jewish girl, once you hit that age of puberty, scholars think, that maybe between 13 and 16, she's now engaged. Any 13 to 16-year-olds in here? A few? Are you engaged? I hope not. Okay, things were a little different back then. Mary is engaged to be married, and she's doing what, you know, typical fiancés are doing. She's looking on Pinterest for themes for her wedding, I'm sure. She's, you know, practicing signing checks in her new last name and, you know, coming up with names of all her children that are coming. And she's having fun doing all these, you know, pre-marriage engagement type things when all of a sudden there's this interruption. An angel comes and interrupts her life. An angel says, actually, let's read a little bit more. She's engaged to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel, the angel, appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Now, I'm sure that, first of all, just the angel appearing in and of itself would just startle her world. But then to be greeted in such a way to say, "God's favor is with you," this would definitely startle anyone. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to figure out or to think, what could the angel mean? So she's sitting here thinking through all these things, this interruption. She's got these plans in place, and all of a sudden, God shows up in the form and the messenger of this angel and totally interrupts her. Many times, interruptions can come, and we think, what's going on? But I want you to hear that many times God's interruptions, although we often see them as inconvenient, God's interruptions are often inconvenient. If you look through all of Scripture from Old Testament to New, you're going to see story after story of God interrupting people's lives. There was a guy named Moses, remember him? After being kicked out of Egypt, he's now a shepherd. He's getting old. He's kind of retiring out in the desert wilderness. He's taking care of a few sheep, and all of a sudden this bush catches fire and interrupts his day. And it isn't just a burning bush, it's a speaking burning bush. And it says, "Moses, I've chosen you. I want to use you to go save my people out of slavery in Egypt and lead them to the promised land." After arguing with the bush for a little while, which is kind of weird, but I'm slow of speech. Are you sure you got the right guy? God says, "It's not going to be you, it's going to be me. I'm choosing you." Later, we see the story of Jonah. Jonah's enjoying just a normal day. He's safe and sound from the terrorist community called Nineveh. They're really barbaric people. They're destined to destroy each other eventually, and he's enjoying life, probably golfing on the Sunday. And God shows up and says, "Jonah, I'm sending you to Nineveh." And he's like, "God, you got the wrong guy. I'm going the other way." God interrupts his life. And many times we see interruptions as inconvenient. Later in the New Testament, we have a guy named Saul. A lot of you know him as Paul. For most of his life, up till this point, he's been persecuting believers in Christ. These Christ followers, these Jesus followers who said they were followers of this thing called the Way. Jesus said, "I'm the Way, the Truth, and the Life." And Saul is going from town to town, throwing them in prison, persecuting, seeing many of them murdered. He stood there and watched Stephen, the first murderer, get stoned to death as he held people. "Oh, you need your arms free. Let me hold your coat while you throw that rock." That was Saul. And God interrupted him. Literally, a light shone from heaven, knocked him off his high horse. He fell to the ground and looked up at the sky, being blinded literally by the light for 3 days. He heard a voice from heaven saying, "Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is I, Jesus, the Son of God." And in 3 days, this interruption changes Saul's name to Paul, changes his life forever, and he now has 13 books written, 13 letters in our Bible today. He's one of the first missionaries sent out. God interrupted his life. A lot of times we don't want God's interruptions because they're often inconvenient. Mary had her plans set. She's getting ready to get married, and all of a sudden this angel shows up. We had an opportunity, Brandy and I, to get away this past week. And while at the airport, we're getting ready to get on the plane. Why is it always airports? This lady shows up. And she just like jumps in line with us. She just starts talking. Remember Meryl? Meryl was with us. And she just starts, and I'm just thinking, I'm on vacation. I don't have time to, I'm confessing here, okay? I'm sorry. And But the more she started talking, the more it was clear she needed Jesus. Her life was falling apart. She lives here in Clifton. She was like, I'm going down to Miami, but I can't live in Miami. I need to get back up here. I don't know what my life's going to be like. And Brandy's like, when you get back in town, let us know. We'll help you. Interruptions can seem inconvenient, but sometimes it's the perfect place where God is working. A couple verses later, in verse 30, this angel sees Mary confused and disrupted, and he's like, don't worry. The King James says, fear not. The New Living Translation says, do not be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you have found favor with God. How many of you, if you're honest, you would say, you know, I'd like some of God's favor in my life? Raise your hand. How many aren't ashamed of me? Yeah. Sometimes God's favor, most of it comes when we least expect it, in those times of interruptions. And instead of going through life seeing these inconvenient interruptions as what they are, we should look at them as what they really are. And they are divine invitations for us to have God step into our life. Many times, our greatest fear will present the greatest opportunity of blessing. Billy Haynes shared with Brandy. It's like, where is he going with this? Shared with Brandy that in the last church he was volunteering, serving in, and he went to this newcomer class, this 101 class, kind of like what we do the first Sunday of each month. And at this class, he said, okay, if you're going to join and you're going to become a family member of this church, a partner, you're going to be on board with us, there are three things we want. First of all, we want you to be a part of us. Come and attend and give us your time, be a part of us. Number two, we want you tithing. We want you to invest in what God's doing here. If you're going to, this is your family, pour in here and we want your talent. Find a place to serve. Everybody who's a part of this family needs a place to serve. And so he looked at this list and he felt led for some reason to look for the most uncomfortable things on the list. So he thought, I don't like praying with people, maybe joining the prayer team. And I've never worked with special needs children, so maybe let's try that one out. So he did, and 14 years later, am I right? 14 years later, he's helping run that ministry, grow that ministry. He's being more blessed than the blessings he's pouring out. And now he's carrying that banner to Hope Hill saying, is that needed here? And we've got families of autistic children that come here, and he's like, God put this in my life. I want to be used. Instead of seeing these things as interruptions, let's see them as divine invitations from God. God inviting us to be used by Him to do something we could never do on our own. Number two, second reason we're often fearful of what God is doing. We often see God's purposes as different than our plans. God's purposes is often different than what we have planned. You see here in verse 31, the plans revealed for Mary. This angel shows up and says, don't be afraid. Let me tell you what I'm here for. And he says, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him. Say it. That was so sweet back there. You will name him Jesus. He will be very great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary, I'm sure, is blown away at this news. Here she is, honored to receive this message from heaven, and yet freaking out. Do you know what the penalty for being pregnant out of wedlock was back then? Death by stoning. Honored, God would choose me. Freaking out, how is Joseph going to take this news? Can you imagine that talk? Hey, Joseph, I had a visitor last night, and I'm pregnant. Yeah. Do you know the Bible tells us what Joseph did? He didn't say, wow, we're going to have God's baby. It said that he thought of leaving her, ending the engagement and divorcing her. They weren't even, he thought of stopping it all right then. That would have been tough. that swing of emotions she must have felt, that honor versus what are other people going to think? What am I going to do? I can't believe I'm chosen. How are they going to look at me? We see, though, if you continue reading, that Mary, she did go away. She left town. She wasn't sure exactly how to take all this. She goes and spends some time with her Aunt Elizabeth. And during that time, this beautiful prayer is recorded, Mary's prayer there later in Luke. And if you look at the heart of that young girl revealed in that prayer, it shows you that she had faith. She wasn't living a life of fear. She was ready to embrace whatever God was going to throw at her. And she talks about the amazingness of God, how His plans will endure forever, how His ways are bigger than ours, are greater than ours. And we see her heart revealed in the way she prays. A lot of times our prayers are about ourselves. God, help me do this. God, help me get over that. God, I'm sore here. Take this pain away. And her prayers were simply focusing on the worship of God. God, just being grateful that she was chosen to be a part of His plan. How do you pray? What does your prayer life reveal about your faith or your fear level in life? Yes, God's purposes will often be different than our plans. But the Bible tells us that just as the heavens are higher than the earth, His ways are higher. God's purposes are higher than our purpose. His plans are higher than our plans. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. You may have been going through life planning and preparing for the perfect family only to get married and find out you can't have children of your own. God's plans are higher and better than ours. You may be in a marriage that seems to be struggling and falling apart, and you're like, how, God? How are you going to get us through this? And thinking it's all going to fall apart. Put your hope and faith in God. His plans and His purpose are higher than our own. You may find yourself losing a job and wondering, how could this happen to you, especially this time of year? How are you supposed to make ends meet and provide for the special gifts that you want to give your children? And wondering where God is in this, when all around God is preparing you for the next thing. Maybe you've got this job or this business you've been dreaming of starting, and this is the perfect opportunity to do it. Only God knows His plans, and it's our responsibility to simply be obedient and following Him and letting Him carry us through these tough times in life. Many times on the road with God, we don't always go where we want to. But it's better to be where God wants us any day of the week than to be where we'd rather be. A couple years ago, we decided we wanted to take some time to have a family day. I think it was late August, hot, hot day. And the only thing we could think of on that morning was going and checking out Redskins camp. And we like the Redskins. I don't know why, but we do. I converted about 15 years ago and they haven't been good ever since. Lots of hope for tomorrow night, though, right? Sorry, Mason. He's a Cowboys fan. I don't think we allow Cowboys fans to join the church, though. How'd that happen? So we put the kids in the car, and they're like, where are we going? We wanted to just stay home and rest today. Get in the car. We're going to have a family day, and you're going to like it. You had those conversations before? So we're on the road, and in the back, it's getting bad. They're arguing with each other. They're asking, you know, why are you making us go to this stupid thing? We don't even like football, and it's so hot, and they're just complaining. And finally, I just pull over, and this doesn't happen often, but I turn around in the seat, and I'm like, you will be quiet. I don't want to hear another word out of any of your mouths unless it's positive or uplifting or something about you like about our family. That's it. So we park. Someone said amen about that. We park and we get out of the car, and they're like pouting as we walk through the parking lot all the way to And we got there. We didn't know what time, so it was early. We get there early, but good enough to get to the front. We're like right at that yellow tape that kind of separates you from the players. And Brandy and I are loving it. You know, we're getting to see. This was RG3's first season, and we were so excited. Too bad that didn't work out. But anyway, we're watching, and I just remember Lexi actually kind of showed some interest. It was real weird. She's like kind of watching and starts asking some questions about what they're doing. And a little bit into it, all of a sudden, the players, they all make their way to the audience, start doing autographs and such. And this player comes up. He didn't make the team, so I don't remember his name, but it's still awesome what happened. He comes up with his football. He walks right up to Lexi, who's been complaining all morning, and he gives her this football. And she's just like grinning ear to ear, like turns around like, "Dad, look at this." I'm like, "You don't deserve that." So we get back in the car, and as we're driving away, Lexi says, "Dad, today was a day full of grace." Okay, where's my real daughter? It's like, "Lexi, why do you say that?" She's like, "I had a really bad attitude, and I didn't deserve this football, but God gave it to me anyway." But it's during those times when we simply, you know, we had to force them to be obedient. Sometimes God will force us to be obedient, but many times in our obedience, God shows up and He'll provide the blessings. So, Mary was unsure, just like Lexi was unsure about that day. Mary, in verse 34, Mary asked the angel, "How can this happen? I'm a virgin. This is impossible." In the words of Princess Bride, "This is inconceivable. How in the world?" Maybe you showed up to church today just for this part. Your life is kind of a wreck right now, and you're like, "I don't know how joy can come. Things are a wreck. How is it even possible? My marriage is on the rocks. My kids are rebellious. My job is, I don't even know if I'm going to have it after the new year. It's impossible." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you." This is God's way of saying, you know, it's not up to you. It's not up to your circumstances or your situations. You're right. You can't do this on your own. There are going to be some things in life that are impossible on your own. But he goes on to say, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God." Read these next words with me. "For nothing is impossible with God." Doesn't matter what is going on in your life. Nothing is impossible with God. Can you change your spouse? No. But can God? Yeah. Can you change your work situation? No. But God has a plan. Can you save your unsaved loved one? That's the Holy Spirit's work. We're called to pray. We're called to love and let God do His stuff. Nothing is impossible with God. So my question to you this morning is, what is it that God's been leading you to do? What is it that God is asking you to do? What is it that you've been allowing fear to hold you back when God wants you to simply take your faith instead of putting it in the what ifs, put it in Him? What is it? Is God wanting you to quit your job because He's leading you to something better? Is God wanting you to go back to college? You're not sure how, but is He leading you anyway? Is God leading you to break up with somebody? Don't worry about the details. Our response is simply to be obedient to His leading. Two things we need to know when we're responding is that the outcome is God's responsibility. Obedience is ours. Is God leading you to invest in what He's doing in the unfolding vision here at Hope Hill Church, and you can't figure out how to make ends meet? Let God lead you. God says, test me in this and see that I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out blessing into your life. Let God lead you. The outcome is God's responsibility, but obedience is ours. 5 years ago, when Brandy and I were praying about what our next season of life would look like, I was in a comfortable job working in a well-established church at First Baptist Church. Secure, had a retirement plan there, had good health insurance there, all kinds of good things going on. And God was leading both of us to, I want you to consider planting a church. And we're like, God, is this the right time? We had all these what ifs. What if nobody comes? What if it takes us years and years before, what if I have to get another job? And all these what ifs. Here we are 5 years later. Sitting here with you, celebrating what God has done, simply because we were willing to put our trust in Him and be obedient, see His unfolding plan unfold in our lives and in yours. And there's so much more that God has in store for all of us. Are we willing to be obedient and let the outcome be His responsibility? Mary said this in verse 38. Verse 38, Mary said, I am the Lord's servant. That statement is so powerful because it tells us two things. It tells us that she realized who she was, and she realized whose she was. She was just a teenage girl, but she was a child of the King. You're just a middle-class citizen. But you are a child of the maker and creator of the universe who has an amazing plan for your life. Let us remember who we are and whose we are. God will enable us to do anything He calls us to do if we simply walk one step at a time in obedience to Him and His plan for our lives. Let's pray. If you're here this morning, my hope is that God has been speaking to your heart. My hope is that if you have never looked to God in a personal, relational way, that you would know that even if you were the only person on this earth, Jesus would have come to this earth just for you. The Bible tells us that He left the 99 sheep just to find the one that was missing. And maybe you're here today and Jesus is looking for you. The Bible tells us that when Jesus came to this earth, He lived a perfect life. He loved, He had compassion, He met people's needs. And at the end of 33 years, He laid down His life in our place as He allowed Himself to be put on a cross for us. The Bible says that while He was on the cross, being one who never sinned, He took our sins upon Himself. And the Scriptures tell us that you and I, if we confess that we are sinners and ask Him for forgiveness, that He will forgive us, He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We will be made a child of His, forever a part of His family. And He will begin to give us life full of true joy, abundant life in full. Today, the greatest gift you could receive is that gift of that relationship with Jesus, inviting Him into your heart, inviting Him into your life, just calling out to Him right now. Just say, Christ, thank you for dying for me. Forgive me for the sins that are in my life. Forgive me for the sins of fear and holding back. Forgive me of the sins of not having faith in who you are. Forgive me of the sins, fill in the blank. Forgive me. Come into my life now and make me new. Help me to become a child that belongs to you. Lead me now as I follow you. God, I pray for those in this room who are praying that prayer to you right now. As they enter into your loving arms, that you would surround them and fill them with your Holy Spirit and begin this life anew with them. God, I also pray for those in this room who have given their heart to you, but maybe they're not on track following you with their all. Maybe they're hiding behind fears. Maybe they're hiding behind what ifs. And their maybe eyes are being opened to greater plans. God, help us to step away from the what ifs and step into whatever it is you're calling us to. Help us to step into obedience and walking with you. God, as we take these steps, we know that you are faithful and you will remain faithful even if we are faithless. You will continue to be there with us, encouraging us, lifting us up, God. So move into our lives and make us new. If you gave your heart to Jesus this morning, come and let one of us know. We'd love to celebrate that with you and just pray over you. Over these next moments, just respond now as God leads you.